All right. Good morning, everyone. Good to have you here in church this morning. Such a blessing to be here also. It is what it is. You've got me this week. When Pastor asked me, I think it was like way back in November. It was way back. He named some of the guys who have been here previously before me. Guys that I look up to. And I said, you want me? So you're getting what you're getting, okay? And by God's grace, we're going to have a wonderful week. Have a wonderful week. I brought this up here. Share something with you. Because I don't know what I'm missing out on last time I was here, whatever, but Faith Bible Institute. And FBI. So let me encourage you, if you never went to a college or studied for the ministry or whatever, to enroll in that. Because I share with everyone that I graduated from the FBI. But it wasn't this particular one. It was Fellowship Bible Institute down in South Carolina in my sending church. And it's when I was being called into the ministry. I knew it. My pastor knew it. Other men knew it. And I went to pastor with probably 8 children at the time, a plumber. And I knew the next step was probably get some kind of godly education. So I was thinking ambassador, because it's not that far from us. And that was my thought. So I went to Pastor Hager, and after him listening to me for a few minutes, he said, Bill, he said, I've been wanting to start a Bible Institute for years. And he says, I think it's time to start. So as I look through what's offered, this gets way up there. A Bible college diploma, advanced diploma in biblical studies, certificate of completion. That's what I got. I got a certificate after 3 years of studying God's word, basically like this said, every book and all the major doctrines and minor doctrines and all kind of things. But God used that to put me into the ministry and where I am today. And I love telling people I graduated from the FBI for that, what that's worth. Okay? All right. Pastor told me that the theme for the year is access to the throne of grace. And that I didn't have to, keep on my preaching, teaching, whatever, based on that. And I can't promise that everything will be on that, but I know this morning it's going to start on it, because it's such a wonderful truth. It's such a wonderful reality that we have as Christians to have access to God's throne of grace. It's wonderful. It's amazing. You know, I shared with you last night a little bit. Brother, the joke man. You know, kicks are for trids guy. Only us older people got that last night. That's why it was only a few laughs there, you know. But I forgot why I brought that up. You do that to people, you know that? He told me 3 jokes coming in. I said, I can't handle it. I can't handle it because I won't be able to think. And see, it happened already. He asked me how many animals did Moses take on the ark. I didn't hear that. I said, well, I believe 2 of each kind plus some for... You know, he said, Moses didn't take any on the ark. And all of y'all have heard that, so it's nothing new to you. But It's good. It's good. I appreciate your church. I appreciate a lot of things about your church. I want to tell you one thing that's really obvious as I came here yesterday and as I came here on a Sunday morning, the Lord's Day. It's obvious to me that there are some standards in this church. I have 52 supporting churches, 52. On deputation, we went to over 100. So you know it was well over 100. So more than not said, I don't want those people. I don't want to support them, or they're weird, they're crazy. They're too many, I guess. But it tells a lot about people, especially on a Sunday. It speaks volumes. You can write a book how people look on a Sunday. You look good. I know you didn't come to please me. Hopefully you're wanting to please God. But it speaks volumes. And I appreciate it. I love it. You got what you got. Logan has really taken to me. I don't know why. But he came in this morning and he said, I was expecting an ordinary Sunday school this morning, but I guess it's not. I said, well, if you're anywhere near close to me, it's going to be abnormal. Okay? So take your Bibles this morning. We're going to look real quick at this passage where I believe you get your theme from. And what a wonderful passage it is. And I'm just going to begin reading in verse 12 of Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. As I read this passage of Scripture, I only got one word, and it's wow. You could put that in your Bible if you put notes. Verse 12, for the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and open unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. Wow. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavenlies, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us, therefore, come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. And all God's people said, amen. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we are thankful for the great privilege, the great honor it is to have access to your throne. And Lord, as we come before you this morning, we stand in awe of your goodness to us. Lord, how much you love us, how much you care for us, how much you want to, as pastors just opened up this morning, lead us in the paths of righteousness, that this nation, this world could be changed if we would just simply follow thee. I pray, Lord, for your grace and your mercy today to help in this time of need. And I pray that we would be encouraged through thy word, through the truth of thy word. And Lord, that we would leave this Sunday school hour, Lord, rejoicing in the access that we have to your heavenly throne. We ask these things in Jesus' name for his sake. Amen. I brought the hymnal up here for a reason. Everybody turn to page 442. Page 442. I'm going to ask my daughter if she would go over to the piano, whichever daughter wants to go. Okay, this will be faster than Noel. We'll be singing faster, y'all. Okay? But either one will do. I just want to sing. I actually thought about this, to sing that first line by myself, but I think y'all would do well to help me, okay? And I want you to look what it says before we sing it. I know not why God's wondrous grace to me he hath made known. That's still a question that I ask many times. It's a good question. I don't exactly know why, but I know whom I have believed. And I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. You're going to see in the morning message this morning, it's all about belief. It's about believing God's word. God's word is God's word. God's word is true. He is truth. He cannot lie. If he could lie about anything, we might as well get up and leave, brother. I'm in the flesh, I hope I'm not in the flesh this morning, but you're looking at a man who has a choice every day. Is he going to live in the flesh, or is he going to live in faith and live by the grace of God to live how God wants me to live? But if we have a God that can lie, this life that we're living in is just be miserable, be awful. Because we'd be wondering, what else is he lying about if we find one lie? But God is true. And we can trust every single thing he says. We can bank on it. We can live it. Because he cannot lie. Amazing. That's what we base our beliefs on. His word. He wants us to trust him. First verse of I Know Not Why.
I know not why God's wondrous grace to me he hath made known, nor why unworthy Christ in love redeemed me for his own. But I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day.
Amen. Thank you for that. Access, folks. We can enter into the throne of God. Each and every day, there's no limit on how many times you can go. Okay? No limit. You can go morning, noon, evening. You can go 7 times a day. You can go 10 times a day. You can obey God's command there in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 17. You can pray without ceasing. That's a lot of praying. It is. A lot of people like to eat without ceasing. We can pray without ceasing. You know, there's something going on right now in this state. I think it's very, I don't know why God puts these things on my mind, but he has. The U.S. Open, how many know about that? See how many golf fans we got in here. Okay, Pastor is not a golf fan. Because you've got to know the U.S. Open is here. The U.S. Open men's golf is here in Pennsylvania. 2 weeks ago, we were in Wisconsin, and the U.S. Women's Open was 30 minutes above Milwaukee. I'll just tell you, if I had knew it, I did not even know it. Me and my boys, probably a couple of girls, would have tried to go just to watch these professional women play golf. They're that good, and it makes us go, we need to stop. okay? 5'2", 105 pounds, hitting it 290 yards. 6'7", now about 210, hitting it 190 yards. Doesn't make sense, but it's technique, okay? So we didn't go because we didn't know. Well, we did know about this one this week. I knew the U.S. Open was at Oakmont. I didn't know where Oakmont was. So I said, where is Oakmont Country Club? Oakmont, Pennsylvania. I was like, what? Oakmont better not be near Mountjoy. So I clicked it in. It's right above Pittsburgh. So that's it, you know. No going to the U.S. Open this year. But we have a church that doesn't support us, but boy, does he keep up with us. He always says, you know, we may not support you in financially, but we support you in prayer. And he really does. Mark Montgomery, Ambassador Baptist Church, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. And Oakmont is 23 minutes north of Ambassador Baptist Church. So I almost called you, brother, and said, I got a new meeting at Ambassador. But every single year, the U.S. Open concludes on, well, Sunday's correct, but Father's Day. It concludes on Father's Day. I don't know the reason behind that. Maybe it probably has some reasons, but it's the U.S. Open. It says open, but it's not open to all. You have to be a good golfer. But for you non-sports people, if you can qualify, then it's open to you. But it's very, very tough, very, very hard, unless you're a professional, to get into the U.S. Open. So it concludes every Father's Day. But you know what's open that's not very, very hard? That's not something that you have to have a lot of skill at. I'm the example of that. And it's open 365 days a year, 24 hours a day. It's open. Well, first of all, God's salvation. In golf, there's something called, it's not how you drive, it's how you arrive. Okay? You putt for show, you drive for show, putt for dough. Okay? But the one, it's not how, my wife's saying, please stop. It's not how you drive, it's how you arrive. That's the world's philosophy with life in heaven. It's not how you live. You can live any way you want to. You can do anything you want. It's my life. It's my body. And then how you arrive? Well, just go ask the religions of the world. There's thousands of them. Everywhere you go, there's religion and religion and religion. And the premise of all religion is, like the U.S. Open, what must I do to get in? What must I do? But folks, salvation is open to whosoever will put their trust and their dependence in Jesus Christ and His finished work on the cross, and that alone. Nothing else. You can be the worst of worst golfer, but if you get good enough for a couple of weeks, you can enter into the U.S. Open. You can be the worst of worst, the lowest of lowest, the vilest of sinners, and if you turn to Jesus Christ in repentance, believing, trusting, change of heart that results in a change of direction, if you trust in Jesus Christ and believe He died for you, He paid for your sins, He's offering you the gift of salvation, guess what? You're in. You're in God's family. You're saved. And it's open all the time. God's salvation is open to those who believe. Well, His throne of grace for those who believe. And that's who it's open to. for believers, for those who trust him. The only thing, my understanding, only time the prayer of a sinner is heard is when he's praying to God to ask him for forgiveness of his sins. Now you hear all these crazy stories and everything, you know, about everybody praying and getting prayers answered to prayer. That's just life. That's God and his sovereignty working. You know, it reminds me of the man, y'all probably heard it 1,000 times. I say nothing original, okay? I read, I listen, I study, and then I share it. But the man who fell off a cliff, and he caught hold of a branch, and he yelled out, "Help! Help! Somebody help me!" And he heard a voice from heaven said, "Just let go. Just let go. I'll save you." He looked down. He looked back up. Is there anybody else up there? That's what religion is. God says, "I'll save you. Everything has been completed. I've satisfied the Father. The sin debt has been paid. It's over." My son Revis, I'm going to keep it sports just for a while. My son Revis is an amazing athlete. If he wasn't called into the ministry, he probably could be called into several sports. Naturally, he didn't get it from me. He didn't. He wins golf tournaments he goes in and hadn't played much. That's impossible. That's a gift from God, a talent. He went to Guam, never had played golf much in his life, never had been on a team, never had played in the tournament, never anything. Someone says, "Do you play golf?" He says, "Yeah, I play once or twice a year." He finished third in Guam in the statewide tournament against all the players who some went on to college to play golf. He finished third. In basketball, he plays with Daddy, who was pretty good. Okay? I played the likes, some of you will know, I played with the likes of a guy named by the name of Kevin Garnett, played for the Minnesota Timberwolves. I played against him down in Greenville, South Carolina. Before he was 6'11", he was about 6'9", he was young. I was old. I was in my 30s. Nothing. I beat him. Our team beat him every time. Revis, when he plays basketball, for some of you who know, he plays around with me and plays around a lot of people. He jumps out of the gym. He was in Guam right before he left, and he went up to two villages up. They were having a big basketball tournament on the blacktop. And most of the people, Revis is almost 6'6 now. So most of the people there are around 5'8. If they're tall in Guam, they're Pastor Madrid's height. Okay, and with crowds on both sides of the gym there, it wasn't a gym, it was outdoor, crowds on both sides, one of the first plays, I was not there, I had testimony, everybody told me, Revis went down the court, crossover dribble, behind the back, went up, two-handed, dunked over their best player. Why did I tell you all that? Well, there's a point. Because the opposite team and bunch of people in the stands started running to their car in laughter and in awe saying, "It's over! It's over! It's over!" Because he did that. You know what we can say about our Savior's sacrifice on the cross? It's over. There's nothing else to do. Nowhere. It's over. We, as Christians, have access to God's throne to go and to talk to Him personally, to do what it says to do, to come boldly with confidence, with assurance, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. That's amazing. access. Brought up all that sports for just a reason. The Masters. All that to lead to here. The Masters, the biggest golf tournament in the world. The one coveted place that if you want to see the best golf and see the best golf course ever, go to Augusta, Georgia and go into the Masters, Augusta National Golf Course. Access, entrance into that is hard. I've been three times. Three times. Won't tell you how, but it was just God's blessing. But access is something coveted and something that people want and people need. And we have that access. We can enter in to something far grander, far more amazing, far more useful when we approach God in His throne. And it was all made available because of what Jesus Christ did. When He shed His blood on the cross, said it is finished, and that temple veil rent from top to bottom, opening to us access to the throne of grace. Folks, it's awesome, it's amazing, and we ought to we ought to recognize that and see that every day. But why isn't there more people being saved? Why isn't there more people entering into God's family? Why isn't there more people here? Why isn't there more people at the wonderful picnic last night? Why isn't there answer to prayer all around the world in Christendom? Why isn't there? Because we can find God's grace. We can find His mercy to help us when we enter into His throne. Why isn't there? You know, God's grace and God's mercy is amazing. Mercy, God withholding from us what we deserve. Grace, God giving to us what we don't deserve. One of the best illustrations that this simple-minded man grasped was not long ago, and it just helps me grasp it more. Mercy, your illustration is you going down the road, because we've been traveling a lot. You go out down the road, the speed limit says 55. You're going 75. You get pulled over by that blue light. And when he comes to the vehicle and does all the stuff you do, he comes back and he just gives you a warning ticket. You deserved a lot more. Many of you in here, like my wife, know that. 20 miles, 30, that's when she was young. 20, 30 miles over the speed limit, you deserve a ticket. But in mercy, the officer says, also how I discipline my children sometimes. I want to be like the Heavenly Father, and He shows a lot of mercy. When Mama says, you didn't spank them? Yeah. Mercy, withholding what they deserve. So He hands them a warning ticket. And he says, don't speed anymore, no matter what the reason. You know what grace is? You're going 40 miles over the speed limit. You're weaving in and out, all because you want to get to Chick-fil-A quicker. You're doing all this stuff. You're breaking all the laws. You're sinning and sinning and sinning, because everything you do is against God's law of command to obey the laws. And the officer, after he gets all the information, comes back and says, Here's a $200 gift certificate to Chick-fil-A. That's grace. Giving you much, much more than you ever deserve. He giveth and giveth and giveth and giveth and giveth and giveth again. That's God's grace, folks. We don't deserve it. If you're here and say you deserve it, we don't deserve it. It's nothing we can do. We're sinners. We're sinners. As a young man told a clubber when I had just started in the ministry, not long, probably 1 year working in our Soldiers for Christ teens. A bus kid was fussing and cussing and everything. And this man, who was way younger than me, said to him, after he said, he was trying to control him. And the guy said, "I don't deserve this. Take me home or whatever. I don't deserve this." And out of nowhere, this young worker, Bible club worker, said, "You know what? If we got what we deserve, we would be in hell right now." That was to y'all, well, I already know that. But boy, way back then, I was like, wow. If we got what we deserved, we would be in hell. Because we're sinners. That's how bad it is. But boy, is God's grace amazing. And folks, even though we can go to His throne of grace to find mercy and grace to help in time of need, there's problems. And what I want to look at this morning is hindrances to answer prayer. Okay? Because we have God's promise that He'll give us grace and mercy to help us in our time of need, yet we're not seeing a lot of prayers answered. Because I believe as Christians, just like he said this morning, if one man, if one family, if one church was completely sold out, surrendered, and dedicated to pleasing and obeying God in every single way that He has laid out for us, we would see churches filled, Oliver B. Green tents set up again with real good Bible preaching, and we will see this wicked, evil United States of America government, town, cities, make a turn for the good. See, I still believe in revival. I believe in revival, and it's just turning back to God. But the reason is these hindrances. Hindrance number one, Psalm 66:18, "If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me." Isaiah 59:2, "But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid His face from you, that He will not hear you." Unconfessed sin. Matthew Henry wrote this about "If I regard iniquity in my heart." It's more like if I see it, if I see the sin in my heart and don't do anything about it. He said this, "If I love it, indulge in it, if I treat it as if it's a friend and bid it welcome, God will not hear." Unconfessed iniquity, unconfessed sin. That hinders our prayer life, because if we have it, God's word does not lie, David and Andrew, or Andrew and David. I don't know which one. I try every time. His word won't lie. If there's iniquity that we're loving and keeping and setting it aside like God doesn't know about it, doesn't see it, or it's not that bad. I'm not as bad as that guy over there. I'm not as bad as my brother. That's regarding it. You know what God says? "I will not hear you." That's pretty astonishing. Because the throne of grace is, in my way of understanding, and anybody can correct me afterwards, access denied. I'm not hearing you because there's something that you're not trusting me with. There's something that you're just not believing that I can take away for you, that you're wanting to hold on to. access denied. Number two, selfish motives. James chapter 4. You have not because you ask not. You ask and receive not because you ask amiss, that you might consume it upon your own lust. Selfish motives. Our motives ought to be God's motives. 1 John 5:14 and 15 speaks of asking anything according to His will. He hears us and He'll give it to us. That's amazing. That if we ask according to, you know what God's will is. And how do you know what God's will is? By reading His word and believing His word, trusting His word. Selfish motives. I've used this illustration 1,000 times. Well, not 1,000. I'm not that old. I hadn't been in the ministry that long. But over and over again, I can't go to the Lord in prayer with sin confessed, number one, taken care of, and then say, Lord, I really would like to have a little red Corvette. It's not going to happen. Why? Because it's a selfish motive. I want it. And I really only want it because I want to ride in it. And I want to say, look at my little red Corvette. Been wanting a little red Corvette for 58 years. Still haven't got one. If I ever drive up in a little red Corvette, you'll know that I don't even know how to go there. I'll stop. Selfish motives. Let your motive for praying be to bring God glory and to be in His will. I can guarantee you, if you go to the Lord with the access open and you pray, Lord, give me a soul to win. Pastor said yesterday, the goal, immediate goal or future goal or just a vision is to have 10 Amish families saved and a member of this church. That's the kind of prayer that God answers. So they're not here. Next year they're not here. Next year they're not here. Next year they're not. 5 years from now they're not here. Do you believe? Are you praying, believing? God is not willing that any should perish, but that all come to repentance, that all be saved. And last time I checked, the Amish is a part of the all. Okay? They are. Hindrance to answered prayer, unconfessed iniquity, selfish motives, refusing to forgive others. We won't turn it. I had Mark chapter 11, verse 22 through 26, Matthew 18, 23 through 35. We won't go there, but listen. We are to forgive one another as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven us, Ephesians 4, 32. And if we can't forgive somebody else, don't expect God to even forgive you, to hear you, to come to that access, that throne, to access the throne of grace, because guess what? You need to forgive. You need to forgive others. Turn to 1 Peter. We'll turn here. 1 Peter chapter 3. Verse 1, likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they also may without the word be won by the conversation of the wives, while they behold your chaste conversation coupled with fear. Whose adorning, let it not be that of outward adorning, of plaiting the hair and of wearing of gold, or putting on of apparel, but let it be the hidden man of the heart, in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. For after this manner in the old time, the holy women also, who trusted in God, adorned themselves, being subjection unto their own husbands, even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters ye are, as long as you do well and are not afraid with any amazement. So God, Peter there, laid it out to the women. Then he says, likewise, ye husband, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. Poor relationships in marriage. In marriage, talking to the married folks here, will hinder our prayer life. God says it there. If we're in subjection to God and in subjection to one another in the right order, honoring God, honoring each other, we're going to see some answered prayer. See some answered prayer. Failure to listen to God's word. Proverbs 28, verse 9, he that turneth away his ear from hearing the law, even his prayer shall be abomination. Abomination is something, the best definition I've ever heard, and I use it a lot, is something God hates and something he gets sick at. One pastor or evangelist actually said it's something like he just gets so sick he just wants to throw up. If we're not obeying God's word and we're praying, Proverbs says it's abomination to God. Think he's going to hear you? No, he's not going to hear you. Number six, refusing to listen to the cry of the poor. Proverbs 21:13. Whoso stoppeth his ears at the cry of the poor, he also shall cry himself, but shall not be heard. In Guam, it's poor. It's a poor place. The people we deal with are poor. To have a dollar is, that's a Christmas present. The streets are lined with people with their signs. The new attorney general came in, and supposedly that's supposed to be put to a stop because a tourist, anybody, you can't go to a red light without someone there begging and pleading for money. Those are some poor people. I never give them money. Doesn't mean I don't love them. I give them money because I believe 90% of them go use it on what the island is just saturated with, and that's meth addiction. In my ministry, I've given away plenty of gas. I take them to the gas station. I've given away plenty of food. I take them to the grocery store, the nearest mom and pop usually. But I won't give them just some what they ask for. I've had someone ask for money for gas in my house. They knock all the time. And I said, well, I won't give you any money, but I can take you up there and give you 5 gallons or whatever. Are you sure? I can just turn it down. Turn it down. Folks, don't stop your ears at the cry of the poor. And I know that this could go, means all kind of ways, but because generally those people are poor in spirit and poor in the things of this life, of godliness, and I use every opportunity to give them a track and share the good news with them, okay? But if you, just poor to you is nothing, get away from me, there go I, but by the grace of God, I can say to you. Paul said, by the grace of God, I am what I am. I didn't know it was getting this late. Number seven, and the last one, stubbornness. Zechariah will let you read it, chapter 7. There, God's people refused to listen to God. And then they cried out in prayer, and he refused to hear because they were stubborn. They wouldn't listen. How stubborn are we many times? Because we just won't listen. How do we get rid of any hindrance removed? Got to end on a positive here. Hope you know what it is. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, all this is sin. Sin is what keeps us from having access. If we confess, if we agree with God, not making excuses, if we agree with God that we've sinned, He is faithful. He is just. He is God. He keeps His word. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's how you get right back with God, to go to the throne of grace, to get the mercy and the grace that we need to help us in the time of need. We are a needy people. All of us are a needy people. We have a God who takes delight in supplying our needs. A theme for the year, but a wonder and amazement of the fact that we as Christians have access to God's throne of grace. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for this time. Lord, I pray that, Lord, it was profitable for many, perhaps only a few. Thou dost know the heart of men. I pray, Lord, You'd help us to, Lord, get rid of any hindrances that may be in our way from keeping us from the throne of grace. Lord, we thank You. We love You. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.